This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
You might remember a couple weeks ago, I took a trip to Columbia and Jefferson City. I got to sit down with Governor Kehoe that morning, and the Attorney General of Missouri, Andrew Bailey, showed me around the Supreme Court building and his office. It was a lot of fun. It was a little dead there that day because all the other wimps from the House and state office holders were afraid of a little snow. There was like an inch of snow, but not Andrew Bailey. He showed up that day, and he's with us this afternoon. How are you, Andrew?
Hey, my friend. I'm reeling from a Mizzou basketball loss last night. Excited about the game on Saturday. Hopefully we can finish the season strong.
I'm heading up on Saturday. Are you going to be there?
You know, I'm going to be at home watching my kiddos, but we will have the game on. We'll be rooting for the black and gold.
So Mark Cox dropped by here earlier. He's a big Kentucky guy, and he's going to the game, but he's prepared for an ass-whooping, I think, because you're right. Last night was not good. They've had two games on the road, and it hasn't been the same team we've seen. I'm hoping for a big rebound on Saturday, and I think we're going to get it.
I totally agree. Senior day at Mizzou Arena. Big Tigers win. You heard it here first. You'll see that on Saturday against Kentucky.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for the tour a couple of weeks ago. And it's a little different, as you pointed out, because the other state office holders in Missouri, they're all in the Capitol, but you're across the street in the Supreme Court building. I can't remember. You told me why that was. There's a reason, right?
Yeah, the General Assembly passed a statute several decades ago that requires the Attorney General to be co-located with the Missouri Supreme Court. And so it's a great building. It was built with the proceeds from the 1904 World's Fair in St. Louis. And I believe all the materials were sourced from here in the state of Missouri to construct a Supreme Court building, except the slate roof came from West Virginia, and it leaks. So we learned that lesson.
But That's pretty funny.
My office is here on the first floor of Supreme Court building. We've got offices in St. Louis at the old post office. We're in downtown KC, Springfield, Cape Girardeau. So we're statewide, but I have to be co-located with the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I got you. All right, listen, yesterday I saw this, and I blasted it out on the X, formerly Twitter. You are asking the DOJ, the Department of Justice, to investigate whether staffers of President Biden took advantage of his cognitive decline to issue radical policies at the end of his term without his full understanding, which, by the way, kind of makes complete sense. But is there some legal room here to actually get something done? This is very clever, I will say. I don't know all the particulars, but explain.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, any legal document that a person signs, if that person doesn't have the mental acuity to know what they're signing, is not a valid legal document. And under Article 2 of the United States Constitution, all executive authority is vested in a president of the United States, not in unelected staffers that he had around him, spoon-feeding him these terrible ideas in the form of legal documents that he subsequently signed. And so who was running our government in the last quiet hours of the declining moments of the Biden administration? I mean, I think we need to know. We, the people, need to know. And I think we need to probe the legal validity or lack thereof of these executive orders and pardons that he signed.
Is this something that is only coming from Andrew Bailey and the Missouri AG, or is this something that's also being attempted with other attorneys general across the country?
Look, this was my letter to the inspector general at the Department of Justice with my signature and the letterhead of the Missouri Attorney General's office. But I'm sure I'm not alone in raising these grave concerns, because think about the documented history here of Biden's mental decline. We knew that special counsel Robert Hur in his report in February of 2024 said that Biden couldn't form the mental state, the intent to commit a criminal offense. Well, if he can't form the intent to commit a criminal offense by stealing documents, then how is he signing legal documents? We know it got worse in January of that same year when Speaker Mike Johnson talked about how the President Biden in his interaction didn't even know what he was saying. We saw the Wall Street Journal report in 2024, June of 24, and most recently in February of this year, a prominent Democrat came forward and said the president didn't even know where he was, had no mental acuity whatsoever. And so this is a well-documented pattern that's been in the public domain. And so I'm certain that I'm not the only one that is concerned, but this letter is Missouri leading the way on this issue.
Hey, by the way, here's some proof for you. How about the new Alex Thompson? And it's hilarious that Jake Tapper has co-written this book. Look, they've written a book. And, you know, the guy that denied that there was any kind of cognitive decline, Jake Tapper, somehow gets his name attached to this. But they claim to have interviewed 200 people for this thing. I bet you get some information for that suit in there.
Absolutely. I mean, that's more evidence. And look, Mark, we see this all the time in probate court in the state of Missouri, where if you have an elderly relative that has a testamentary instrument like a will or a trust, where all of a sudden property was supposed to go one place and upon their demise, it's going somewhere else. And all of a sudden people are coming forward and testing that in court saying, now, hold on a second. When did they sign the document? And were they of sound mind when they did so? This is the same thing. It's just it's on a constitutional level, because we're talking about Article II authority under the United States Constitution vested in a president. And if the president wasn't making decisions and wasn't the one drafting and understanding these documents, who was? The people deserve to know.
So you're asking the Inspector General Michael Horowitz to conduct a full investigation. Is this, you expect that to happen? My guess would be, like, I haven't looked at the local paper, but my guess would be if the Post-Dispatch is going to cover this, they're going to say, oh, there goes Andrew Bailey again. He's trying something gimmicky, you know, to just do this over politics. But what's the path moving forward?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to be up to the Inspector General and how he conducts his business. And he has regulations that govern which cases he can and can't open and what he's allowed to say about those cases. And so I anticipate that there are reviews going on before I pinned this letter. And, yeah, of course the Post-Dispatch is going to say that this is a gimmick, because they want to help cover up Biden's cognitive decline and prop up what semblance of a legacy he may have left behind as he exited the Oval Office. But at the end of the day, these are substantive legal matters that are appropriately raised by a state attorney general.
And I don't know if it gets settled here, but here's what I do know, that the question that you just indicated that you're going after, who was running the country for 4 years, that's a pretty important question. And what we do know is that this was the biggest media cover-up of all time. I mean, and they still don't want to talk about it, besides the book that they're hawking. That's the only time you're going to hear about it. Hey, when we met a couple of weeks ago, I want you to kind of address the issue of Missouri and public safety here in St. Louis. We got a bill that looks like it might get to Governor Kehoe's desk relatively quickly here on local control of, well, this would be going back to state control and having a police commission here. But you were indicating when we were having a conversation that there's a great relationship between you and the governor when it comes to a lot of these issues moving forward, Andrew.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely. I stand with Governor Kehoe in promoting public safety as a number one policy position for the state of Missouri. Governor Kehoe said it better than I can. Missouri needs to be a better place to be a cop than a criminal. And so many of the policy positions he's pushing that I'm supportive of would accomplish exactly that. And look, it's not state control at the end of the day, because anyone that serves on a board of police commissioners has to live in the city of St. Louis. So it's still local control, but what it does is it adds a Republican structure that removes the politics from policing and gives those police officers the air cover they need to go out and do their jobs without their budgets, without their personnel decisions, without legal representation being hung in the balance. I have clients as a law firm for the state of Missouri. Those clients include the Kansas City Police Department and the Missouri State Highway Patrol. Those are some of my favorite clients, and we have technical expertise in how we defend those police officers. I want the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department to have that same consistent, predictable, capable, competent representation I know my law firm can provide it. I want them as a client as well.
I love it. Andrew Bailey, thanks for jumping on here with me this afternoon. I hope all is well, and let's get a win on Saturday at Mizzou Arena.
Thank you, my friend. M-I-Z.
Z-O-U. Take care. That's Andrew Bailey. Yeah, the game last night was a little rough, unfortunately. And you know what's funny? I was very confused by this, and I think I had other people. Sue, this was a game that I was told was available only on ESPN+. I subscribe to ESPN+. They have, you know, like a bundle that they do with Disney and Hulu. So
right.
There's content on ESPN that I access all the time that if you go to like ESPN.com, it'll say ESPN+ only, right? But last night I go to ESPN+ on my Apple TV Plus, and or Apple TV rather, and I couldn't get it to play. And it said something like it was on SEC Plus. So every time I tried to log in, it wasn't working. I had some other friends that said the same thing. So I guess the point of that, long story short, I didn't get to see the crappy game that Mizzou played last night. And when I saw the score, I kind of gave up on, you know, persisting to try to. It was frustrating, though, because, you know, with a program that's ranked in the top 20, top 15 in the nation, I thought it was unusual that the game wasn't a little bit more accessible. But I think that these things are decided sometimes before rankings, if you know what I mean. Hey, when I left the air yesterday, I have to get to this because this was amazing. I often leave and I turn Laura on for the first few minutes, mainly because 98% of the time Eric Schmidt's a guest and he's a friend and I want to hear what Eric says because he's very shy about being in the media. But I love, you know, the first segment of Laura's show. And she's hammering home some of the same themes that I have for the last 3 hours, but she also gives me some ideas on something else. And I'm still so disappointed that we lost Tom Homan. He's a gift to the country, but Tom was on this show on a regular basis for, you know, I'd say 6 years.
Oh,
and
wow.
He was a great resource talking about the border. Chris Klemm's another guy. You know, you haven't heard Chris Klemm for a while because he's in the administration as well.
Oh,
he doesn't have as high profile position as Tom, but he's working behind the scenes to, you know, make sure that these things are moving forward. So, as you might remember, this all came up with the border, and the Democrats keep complaining about a lot of this. So Laura's asking Tom Homan about some of this, and this goes to the hearing that took place yesterday with the mayors. Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Boston. Here's what the mayor of Boston said.
Let's talk about Tom Homan. Shame on him for lying about my city, for having the nerve to insult our police commissioner who has overseen the safest Boston's been in anyone's lifetime.
So that's Michelle Wu is her name. She's the same mayor that took some time out of her busy schedule a few days ago when there were some cops that were almost stabbed to death. And she offered empathy, not for the police officers, but for the actual criminal. And that's what they do in these big cities. So that's sort of the framework. And you had the mayor of Denver, Brandon Johnson, up there. So when I heard that yesterday from that mayor, I thought, wow, I cannot wait to hear Tom Homan's reaction to all this.
Look, I was on an airplane today. I didn't see that hearing, but thank you for playing that because now I'm going to sleep like a baby. Because if I can get to live in her mind rent-free every day, that's kind of cool. I love my job. I work for the greatest president in my lifetime. We're making America safe again. President Trump promised American people we're going to shut down illegal alien crime in this country. That's exactly what we're doing. Mayor Wu should be standing side by side with me. Who
exactly.
does not want to bring hell to an illegal alien that raped a child? Not one, many of them. I stopped counting at nine.
So this is one of the big fallacies in the legacy media right now. There's this notion that ICE, Tom Homan, and all these, you know, black helicopters, I guess, are swooping into St. Louis, Chicago, Boston, Denver, and they're rounding up thousands of migrants. Maybe I wish that was happening, but that's not happening. They're doing exactly what they thought they were doing. And by the way, when I say that, I'm talking about legal migrants, not legal, illegal migrants.
Right.
But what they're doing right now is doing exactly what they said they were going to do. They're going after the criminals. And Homan, I think you'll hear him in a second say, look, is there collateral? Sure, there is sometimes. But let's not act like we're not going to, about this in a way that gets the worst of society off of our and out of our country.
far as the mayor of Chicago, about we're not making this community safer, I went up there, did a one-day operation. We took 7 TDA members off the street. We took 2 illegal aliens that were convicted of murder that they released, took them off the street. We arrested 6 child predators, took them off the streets of Chicago. ICE is making every one of those cities safer because they're releasing public safety threats back into the public. That in itself is just stupid policy, and we're going to keep going. Look, they can hate me all they want. We're coming. I said I'm going to bring hell. I meant it. I'm going to stand by it, and I'm going to do it. We're going to take child predators off the streets of these cities where they don't want to do it.
So let's just talk about Chicago for just a moment, because Chicago is one of the most violent places on the planet, and it has been terrible since Lori Lightfoot took office. I think a lot of us had hope because she was a former prosecutor. It got worse.
Yep.
They booted her out of office. Brandon Johnson comes in. It's worse because he's another one of these BLM guys and he wants to play social worker. It's ridiculous.
City is also safer because of our welcoming city ordinance. That law makes sure that the city's police resources are focused on our local priorities. Chicago's welcoming city ordinance and our other laws and policies do not lead to more crime.
So pay attention to the language, okay? It's no longer sanctuary cities. It's welcoming cities. And Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, is trying to make the case that his city is all kinds of safe. We've got no problems, right? We're dealing with all this. But you guys coming in here with ICE, that's making it more dangerous for our residents in the city of Chicago. Guess what? I've got audio from dozens and dozens of African Americans who live in your city who were screaming at the top of their lungs last summer and beyond about the migrants taking over their parks, taking over their resources. Brandon Johnson, your people are not on your side.
Look, he's ignorant. And these mayors just don't get it. You know, President Trump made a promise we're going to prioritize public safety threats and national security threats. That's exactly what we're doing. We're at about 30,000 arrests, most of them are public safety threats. There are some collaterals, and why is that? Because people like him and the mayor of Boston and the mayor of Denver, they don't let us arrest a bad guy in the safety and security of county jail where the officer's safe, the alien's safe, the community's safe. They release him in the community.
Yeah, see, that's outrageous. And that was addressed with the mayor of Denver yesterday. And it's so easy if you cooperate with ICE. Well, maybe this would be a lot smoother. It is interesting because, and I'll play a little Maxine Waters audio here as well. Think about Brandon Johnson somehow making the case that it's a more dangerous place to be when you have gun violence that's out of control. It's more dangerous because you're trying to crack down on migrants. Now, we had a situation like this out in St. Charles County. You might remember this was right after Trump took office. There was in some of this was in the local paper, but there was a raid. Well, it wasn't a raid. Let me take this back because that's how it was billed. People were accusing ICE of doing a raid at the El Magway. I think it's the one that's right off I-70.
Oh, that's right.
What happened was is that was a drug raid. It wasn't an ICE raid, but what they found was that there were migrants that weren't legal. So then they called ICE in, and I believe that there were, you know, arrests that were made. But that wasn't something that was the primary enforcement mechanism, if you will.
We got to go to the community and find him. And when we find that bad guy, if he's with other illegal aliens that aren't a criminal threat, but they're in the country illegally, they're going too.
Exactly.
So what they're doing is getting exactly what they don't want. More agents in the communities, more collateral arrests because they force in this position. I'll say it again. They're not going to stop us. We're going to do this job. And if they cross the line, they'll be held accountable. We got Pam Bondi now as Attorney General. She's going to take a strong stance. She's already suing these sanctuary cities. We're going to do this job for the American people. We're not going to apologize for doing it.
All right. Good for you, Tom Homan. So here's Maxine Waters, Congressman Waters. I believe she's 130 years old right now. And this is a Zoom call.
Really did not like the way he used the tragic incidents and the families that were there, who of course appreciated, you know, what they think is their president caring about what happened, you know, to the 12-year-old and to others who were victims. And we all feel sad and bad for them, but he misused them. He misused them. And what he did was he focused on them instead of focusing on the real issues.
So that's Maxine Waters claiming that the president is using these people who have been victims, like Lakin Riley's family and others, victims of violent crime by migrants who should not have been. And by the way, it goes beyond just should not have been here in the country, who were in this country and in some cases in custody and then released out of custody. Right. That's how bad this has gotten. So she wants to claim that the families, who, by the way, completely support President Trump, who are outraged by the lack of response by Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, she's trying to make Trump look out or look like the bad guy here.
I mean, give me a break. Americans are dying. I've met hundreds of angel moms and dads who buried their children. Another congressman talked to the home and the architect of family separation. Yeah, we separated families because we prosecuted parents and the children can't go to jail with them. That happens to U.S. citizen parents hundreds of times across this country every day.
Exactly.
But they don't talk about the 500,000 children that were trafficked into this country. They can't find 300,000 of them. They're in sex trafficking and forced labor. Not a word about that. That whole Democratic Party remains silent on that. Shame on them.
Look, if your mom and dad are you know, robbing banks or they're killing people or they're embezzling, they're going to be arrested. And the kids are taken away, to Tom's point. That's what's happening with the migrants. The Democrats try to sell this in another direction. It's a bunch of lies.
Get more at 971talk.com.